right, good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. Is that it? I thought I could hear myself in it. That's a good deal. Good deal. All right, take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking tonight in a few passages over here. One of them's in the book of 1 Peter. We'll just look there at about five verses real quickly. And as we look there, we'll launch out from there anyway. It's good to be saved to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I'm glad God not only provides full and free, but that it's for everlasting to those that do receive it. Isn't that something? Wouldn't you hate to wake up this morning, not know for sure you could go to heaven or not? And I'm glad to know Him and the free pardon of sin. I hope you remember praying. Brother Sam's off teaching somewhere. He'll be back later on this week. But anyhow, just remember to pray for him. All right, in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1, if you find the place you're able to stand, let's look there. And in about verse 4, the Bible talks about the blessing to be God, the Father, and His Son. And then look in verse 4, add to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Thank you for the good singing, the good talent you've given us, and, Lord, for the good songs that we've been able to hear tonight and that we've been able to sing together. Now, bless, I pray, thy word to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on some things that God has given. You know, whatsoever the Lord giveth, whatsoever the Lord doeth, He doeth forever. That's what Ecclesiastes said. He's not just doing something today and saying, change my mind tomorrow and it's different. No, whatever God does, He does and it's everlasting. And let me tell you, salvation is for free and it's for everyone that'll receive it and for everlasting to those that do. That's the reason why over in John chapter number 3, verse number 36, after that He tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That He goes and jumped down to verse 36, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. If you want to have everlasting life, you'll have to have the Son. There's a passage that you ought to look at over there in the book of Ecclesiastes. If I remember it right, in Ecclesiastes, it's either chapter 3, 4, 5, or 6. We'll find it here pretty quick about the time you get there in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me tell you something. When you begin to look into it, the Bible says in verse number chapter 6, by the way, and in verse number 1, there's an evil that I've seen under the sun, and it's common among men. You're going to run upon this the rest of your life. You're going to see it, whether you recognize it or not. And here's what the evil is. A man whom the God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul, and of all that he desireth, and yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. And this is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Now, watch in verse 3. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. Now, you know what that says in essence? Because this untimely birth is mentioned there in this lesson here that you're looking at. In other words, it would have been better if you had died in your mama's womb than to be able to give birth to you and you grow up without the Lord and be a God-denying, God-defying heathen. I mean, we could have at least cried at your funeral. We could have at least, you know, said, well, hey, the Lord just decided to take them on while they were young like that. Let me tell you right now, while you're in your ignorance, but now I look across here and there's not many people that are in their ignorance. And by the way, let me tell you, you better not live without the Lord. And if you're going to live without the Lord, you're got a rude awakening when you die without the Lord, because you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, God's got much more for you than that. This Bible said in the same chapter, verse 6, and yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, and yet he hath not, yet hath he not seen no good. And do not all go to one place. Let me tell you something. is that if you lived 1,000 years and died without the Lord, what a wasted life. What a wasted time that had been. In the lesson that we're looking at, God is doing some things that are everlasting for all eternity because that He can do it and because He does do it. In our text that we've looked at, I want to tell you something. God's given us an inheritance, if you're saying, and He's given us a place because of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us a place that's incorruptible. In other words, it can't be tainted. It can't be corrupted. It's undefiled, and that fadeth not away. You won't ever have to worry about repainting heaven. You won't have to worry about maintaining that. God has given us some things that are lasting. One of them that we've already mentioned is everlasting life. The other one there that we're looking at is an everlasting place to be able to abide with Him in heaven. Over there in the book of Romans, don't turn there, chapter 5, about verse number 8, the Bible said, but God commended His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I can tell you, He didn't love me because He saw anything. When somebody gets up and says, you know, well, I don't know what God ever saw in me. Nothing. It's good, and I know what they're thinking is and all that, because we're looking from the human standpoint. But God didn't see anything in me or see anything in you. God, by His grace, bestowed upon us everlasting life. And I'll tell you something right now is, you talk about ringing the bells of heaven, we ought to be able to rejoice that that's a for sure thing. Now, God doesn't just make it, He's not bargaining with anybody. And you're going to find out that whenever we got saved, we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, over in the book of Galatians in chapter, you can look at it later, 6 and about verse 15, you'll find He said it's neither circumcision nor baptism that means anything, but a new creature. Now, when somebody asks you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Well, I've been baptized. Didn't ask you that. Are you a new creature in Christ? That's what I'm asking. Can you tell when you was lost and without hope and without God? I've seen people, you know, and I had an uncle that finally ended up getting saved, but he wasn't saved when he told me this. He said, you know, I'll tell you, Dennis, he said, I've always believed in God. And I can remember after I'd gotten saved, I began to tell him, and I'd say, yeah, you know, the Bible said the devils believe and tremble. It's not an intellectual thing we're talking about. We're talking about God inwardly changing your soul and saving your soul and making a new creature out of you that others can see. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out that our Lord and Savior has saved us to a lively hope. Verse 3 of our text said that, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I got to tell you, you ain't got to walk around with a whip dog attitude. We've been given power to become sons of God. We can rejoice in the fact that we know Him in the free pardon of sin. I've got to, every now and again, you know, I'll run up on somebody, and you're not going to believe this. You're not. I know you're not. But every now and again, I run up on somebody that doesn't like me. And I got to tell you right now is that the reason why they don't like me is because they can't win the argument. And let me tell you what the argument is that if you don't know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, you're gonna miss heaven and make it into hell. That's just that way that it is. I'm not glad for that for you. I'm trying to talk you out of that, trying to reason. Come, let us reason together. See, folks don't want that. They're not looking for that. I want to tell you something, is that whenever you and I are looking toward home, which is heaven, we ought to be looking as a Christian, and we ought to be excited about the fact that we're one of these days going to be heaven bound. And we'll reach that final abode. We're heaven bound right now. One of these days we'll be right there on the other side. You can rest assured on that. Now here's a little nugget that you already know, because here it is. Somebody may ask you, well, what if something happens that you lose faith? What if something happens you don't always have faith? You know what your answer is? Well, pay close attention, because here it is. When they ask you that, you say, what do you mean by lose faith? I didn't get saved by faith I had. I got saved by faith that came by hearing the word of the Lord. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is something that originated with Him. Faith is something that He imparted unto me. How are you going to lose something that didn't begin with you? See that? I'm not dependent upon my faith. I'm dependent upon His faith, which is now my faith because I've received Him in the free pardon of sin. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, that's the reason why God called it a lively hope. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church is deader than 10 o'clock. I can tell you what it is. They don't really know Him in the free pardon of sin. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, when a person gets washed by the blood, born into the family of God, is that they're not operating on the same religious wavelength that the rest of this world is operating on. You know, there's been a time or two I've made this statement, and since God brought it to my mind, I don't have it pinned down for this sermon, but since God brought it to my mind, do you realize to know that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes again? Now, people get mad when I finish that because do you know how many preachers were saved in the days of Noah? Just the one. One preacher. Now, there were some saved that were men of God before that, but they've all died off now, you see. And I got to tell you, is that we live in a world like that that do not want to hear that as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes again. There's very few. Narrow is the way that leads to life, the Bible said, and few there be that find it. I remember when God was knocking on my heart and He found me. I remember when God used to trouble me in church, trouble me after church, trouble me at the house, trouble me on the job. You see, I remember when God saved my soul and washed me as white as snow. In this lesson that we're looking at, there not only is a lively hope that's mentioned, you're going to find out that there is a legacy that you and I have, and it's in Him. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and I'm glad to know that, hey, that He is who He is and that He loved me in spite of who I am. Let me say to you that when God so loved the world, it's love unlimited. He doesn't bargain with us. He's not going to decide today that He likes us and maybe tomorrow He doesn't. No, no. When God does something, He does it for all eternity. That's love unlimited. See? You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at, God is not limited to what He has. And God is not limited in what He gives. And let me tell you, God's not going to be limited in who He knows. And do you know there were some people in the Bible? In fact, where is it? Matthew chapter number 7, whenever He said to that crowd, He said that was preaching in the name of Jesus, casting out devils in the name of Jesus, doing many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. Over to Matthew, what about chapter 7? And Jesus said unto them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a religious lost crowd. I got to say to you that if you will, the Lord knows exactly who I am. He knows my name. My sheep hear my voice, John chapter number 10, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'll tell you right now is our future is before us. And let me tell you right now is, but I've already got my estate settled on the other side. You're not going to believe who my realtor was. But it's already signed, sealed, and I'm going to be delivered one of these days to it. If you're a child of God, you can say that as well. I will say to you, whatever God does will be lasting for all eternity. I was thinking about in this lesson that's here, incorruptible, indestructible, undefiled, unfading, it fades not away. I got to tell you something. It's never going to need repair. It's never, never going to be repainted. It's never going to be anything that will be in the reach of danger any longer. Now, as we get ready to close tonight, I want to say to you that I'm glad that God is loving and kind. and that he loved me while I was even unlovable. I begin to think about in the lesson here that you'll find that man may give out, give up on you and I and the necessities of life and grudgingly do whatever they're doing. But I got to tell you, God is a cheerful giver and he's glad to do something for his sons and for his daughters. I wonder tonight that whenever you look at that, God gives liberally. Did you notice that when you read your Bible? That means freely. And let me tell you right now is he's not giving it today and regretting it tomorrow. No, no. No, let me tell you right now is when God reached down and snatched you and snatched me as a brand from the burning, he knew exactly what he was doing and he was doing it for all eternity. That's the reason why the world can't understand exactly why you and I are the way that we are. I'll tell you why we're kept by the power of God. And some of them don't even have a clue what it is. In the book of John, St. John, over there in chapter number 14, we're going to close with that passage. It's there. In St. John chapter 14, I think it's about verse number 3, if I got it down right. In verse number 3 of that chapter, here's what Jesus said. We read all of this at a funeral every time. And verse number 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You have a troubled heart tonight? Well, I'm hoping it's God troubling you about your soul's condition if you're not saved. If you got a troubled heart after you're saved, then there's some things plaguing you that need not be. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, I want you to pay attention to that. Do you realize to know that what he's doing is, he's saying he wants us to be with him where he is? That's something in it. "Not like that crowd that depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you." But no, no, that Jesus has made it possible that where I am, he said, there you may be also. He wants us and longs for us to be exactly where he's at. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? If not, why not? You see? If not, why not? I promise you right now is that I've preached enough gospel from this pulpit in all these many years, coming up on 32 here. I've preached the word of the Lord and enough gospel to save the world over and over more than one time, if it could be possible. I mean, what a sad commentary it'll be for people who have died without the Lord instead of dying in the Lord. I wonder why we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Now, Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. I ask your blessings now upon every man, woman, boy, and girl. We thank you, Lord, for salvation that is for free, that is for everyone that will receive it, and that is for everlasting to those that do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.